Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. This is the Chef Dre Blast coming to you again with the Recipe Menu Monday. I'm excited to be here today to bring some wealth of knowledge, you know, in the health and wealth space. And we're just going to enjoy the time today, you know. I have some topics. I got my wonderful co-host, Miss Colette, in the building, the best voice in talk radio. She always makes me sound so fly. Then, of course, you are fly. I love the affirmations. Keep it coming. Yes. So, and I always give a shout out to the man behind the scenes, Kenny Hendricks, playing the guitar when everybody ain't watching. You know what I mean? So, definitely excited to be here today. I love it. So, today's Recipe Menu Monday is sponsored by yours truly, Coach Andre Blassingame. You can check me out at andreblassingame.com for all your coaching and consulting needs. You know, I have a new program out called MAP, Mindset Accelerator Program, giving you an opportunity to achieve your purpose and goals in 90 days. So wow. You definitely want to check that out. You know, I'm all over LinkedIn. You know, I like to say I'm LinkedIn famous. You know, nobody else knows us anywhere else, you know.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true.
So yeah, definitely check that out. So, you know, went to the dentist today and they treated me like a celebrity. You know, it was funny. I was telling them I got a podcast at 3, so I need y'all to hurry this up, right? And of course, I qualified for the World Food Championships. And we actually had, qualified third year straight. So, you know, we're definitely excited. The World Food Championships is here in Dallas, Texas. So I don't have to travel. We've had to travel Alabama and Vegas, and they've even had some down in Florida, but they plan on making Dallas its home. So for everybody that's listening out there, it's worldfoodchampionships.com. It's our 9th year. Would have been 10, but COVID, we didn't do one last year. So it's our 9th year, and I'm just overwhelmed and excited, you know, because the way it's set up, you know, you got to do what they call a structured dish and a specialty dish. And I'm in the soup category this year. So, you know, the structured dish is chowder. And then we've got something special for our signature dish that we're going to do. And then there's about 400 teams, about 1,500 chefs from worldwide that participate in this in 10 categories. And you get in the top 10. Then you get to go to what they call the final table, which is the one that win each one of the categories. And in the final table, they fly you out to a different location, different city. I forgot what city it is this year, but definitely excited for that. Next week, we're going to have the president, founder, and CEO, Mike McLeod, who's going to be on the show to promote WFC.
Wow.
And what he does and how they brought it together. They call the World Food Championships the Super Bowl of food. So, it's a very intense. You got 2 hours to make two dishes and to wow the judges. And it's got a pretty significant scoring system that's out there. And so yesterday I got an opportunity to actually be on the other side. We have something that's called Chef Referees at the World Food Championship. And so we have what we call, you got to qualify to be a part of it. And you either qualify by winning the previous year or you qualify by doing a tournament before it. They call it qualifiers. And so yesterday we had a final chance, last chance qualifier here at Dallas Community College over on Webb Chapel. And we had, 20 people that were in there. And so I got to be a chef-a-ree. Now, chef-a-ree is the one that makes sure you're not doing anything in violation, you know, of the tournament, you know, that you're not trying to take somebody else's products and, you know, all your stuff is, you know, up to par. You're not breaking any safety health code violations, you know, things of that nature. And then making sure that all your presentation, you get a silver platter. And on that silver platter, you got to put all your you got to put your presentation plate and then all the samples on this platter. And it can't be more than 3 inches high or 3 inches wide. So if it don't fit on the platter, you can get disqualified for that. Right.
Whoa.
And so fortunately, I had to disqualify anybody. We were a little lenient on this group. There was one gentleman that didn't make the time But, you know, by the grace of the good Lord and Mike's swift decision making, he allowed him to still turn in. And he was able to, him and another person was able to get what they call the golden ticket, which mm-hmm. waives all their fees and stuff to get in. So they automatically qualified. So
wow.
it was interesting. And then the second half of the day, I got the judge. And it was cool being on the judge side because I've never been on the judge side before. And they have what we call the EAT methodology. It's execution, appearance, and taste. And that's how you're judged on your dish. And so being on that side, it actually was probably the most beneficial thing for me because now I can see over the years, you know, I've qualified 31st and 23rd. I haven't broke the top 10, right? And not breaking the top 10, I was like, man, what am I doing wrong? I know these dishes are incredible, you know, but, you know, maybe it just wasn't my day. And in judging, I was like, okay, I see some of the flaws over the years that I missed. And now I know what to do to do it. So when I say God, you know, puts you in the right place at the right time, because I sacrificed some of my duties at my church home, you know, being in the ministry team and on the production team. And I was like, okay, guys, I got to go do this. Yeah. And I'm glad I did, because it's only going to prepare us for what's coming up. So the WFC is November 5th through the 9th. It's going to be at Dallas Fair Park at Centennial Hall. I think the doors open at like 1 p.m. I compete at 4 p.m. November 5th. The Blasting Game Squad, Heavenly Catering, representing. Got two excellent, excellent chefs that's going to be assisting me. You know, Chef Mary, she is the queen of fusion. She is a beast at what she does. And the Chef David, who is a culinary instructor out at Ben Barber Innovation Academy in Mansfield. And he's just going to bring, you know, an incredible twist and dynamic to the team. So definitely excited to do that. That's how I spent my day yesterday. And it was interesting in seeing that, looking at how food has evolved over the years as far as what great presentation was. And we had great conversations about medicine as food. And my dentist today was talking about that because of me being a chef. You know, back in the day before, you know, the over-the-counter medicines, a lot of things that we used in food were the medicine for healing. Like one of the things on the beverage side, you know, I think about alcohol, right? You know, way back in the day before they came out with Tylenols and aspirins and things of that nature, you know.
Whiskey. Alcohol was whiskey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whiskey was the almost the albeit. I took a tour of a Peerless distillery in my hometown and they talked about that. You know, they talked about that, you know, you couldn't get a license to sell it as liquor. You could only get it for medicinal purposes. Sounds a lot like marijuana today, but
some people,
you know,
still
you
do
don't
that.
Use it for medicinal purposes. And it was interesting to watch the chain of how it changed over the years through prohibition and everything, and how it became, it went from being a healing and an elixir, you know, for pain or to sanitize is the wrong word, like an antiseptic, you know, for wounds and things.
Antiseptic, yes.
Yeah, to being a drinking commodity. It's now, right. You know, not a luxury, but it's, you know, it's almost a vice. Right. In these days. And we were just having conversations about how food has just evolved and changed, you know, over time. Things that we thought, you know, were great and healthy for us have become, you know, kind of toxic for the body. And the things that that we use on a regular basis, we don't even use for medicinal purposes anymore.
Well, you know what? It's interesting that you say that. And I think with the evolution of food, its evolution rather, people have grown to understand that in order to be healthy, they've begun to understand whatever they ingest is going to determine their health. So mm-hmm. whatever they ingest, whether it's food or fluids, it has to be healthy. And just as you said, years ago, people used alcohol as an antiseptic. It was distilled for the purposes of drinking, but it was also used for pain. They poured it on wounds. People gave women whiskey to drink during childbirth. People that had a bow and arrow hit them, they used alcohol for the, on the wound. If you watch the old movies, they're using alcohol because at that time, there were no pain pills, no antiseptics. You couldn't put people to sleep with anesthesia. Those things were not available. So when food evolved, and it's continuing to evolve. I had a conversation with someone today who is opening up a farm. He just bought an acre in one of the Carolinas, and he's got a house on it, but he's going to be using that acre to plant food. So people have evolved in terms of what they ingest. Not enough people. We still live in a very sick, toxic society. But people have made determinations about what they ingest. And what they ingest really determines how healthy they are or not. And remember, food is also used as a mood enhancer. If you eat chocolate at a certain time of the day, in the evening, as a matter of fact, I saw something recently where people were saying, don't eat chocolate at night because of the caffeine, because it'll keep you awake. Then you hear dark chocolate is good for the body. It can be used for medicinal purposes. So we have evolved. The only thing that is continuing to do the damage to us is white sugar and white flour. But people have gotten to the point where they understand that white sugar is going to harm you. There's no question about that. White sugar does a great deal of harm to the body. So people now understands that. Oh gosh, there it is.
And you know what's so interesting about that when you say that about sugar? Oh, well, thank you, Kenny. I just happened to actually look up at the screen, right? So yeah, that is me. We're taking a quick break for everybody that's listening. Kenny has pulled up my profile on the World Food Championships. And I happen to not be looking at the screen when he pulled it up. So yeah, World Soup Championships. So definitely excited about that. We'll talk more about that maybe towards the end and then more next week when we have McLeod on. So, but back on the sugar thing, yeah, you know, and it's interesting because sugar is a huge fuel for the body, the way that it breaks down, the carbohydrates that's in it. And when it becomes refined and goes through all the processes, you know, it becomes detrimental if used in abundance, right? Because me as myself, as a reformed diabetic, so I like, because I don't have to take any medicine anymore, right? As a reformed diabetic, you know, there was one thing that I was taught in my nutrition class is that sugar is sugar. And it has to be treated as such, whether it's brown sugar, whether it's unrefined. Now, the more processed it goes to, it makes more, it's worse for the body because it's processed. You know, it's just like any food that isn't consumed naturally, especially for my vegans out there that, you know, love your impossible meats out there. You know, it's processed. So if you look at the salt content that's in it, if you look at the sugar content that's in it, the preservatives that's in it, even though it's not made from any meat product, it could potentially be just as damaging to the body.
Yeah, worse, yeah.
You know, because it has the same, it uses a similar process that they do with meat. And a lot of people don't know that. Now, I'm not knocking impossible meat. Anybody listening to this, not knocking impossible meat. It's what I've always said on this show, everything in moderation. You can't overdo it. You know, if you're going to live a vegetarian or a vegan lifestyle, it's always better to go raw because you don't lose any of the nutrients. You know, it's always better to go with a lower cooked, you know, a temperature on it because you retain a lot more of the nutrients and you go with the taste, right? And you have to understand that you have to be mindful in a sense of not just what you consume, but what's in it in addition.
And right. People need to also understand when you find something that's organic, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the greatest thing for you, you know,
right?
Because it's organic. Arsenic is organic.
Right.
But I'm not sure how many people sprinkle a little arsenic on their, on their, on their, you know, pork chop.
Sprinkle a little on, yeah.
Yeah. So all these things natural, and some of the things I've seen recently is it not, we don't use hormones anymore or something, but you have to work, look at the words very closely about how they say it, because there are marketing tricks that get you to buy it thinking it's all great. But it's not.
Purdue chicken. Purdue chicken doesn't use hormones.
Yeah. Or like, what is the cheese? The American slices. You have to notice it says cheese food.
Yeah.
Because it's not real cheese. So you just have to be careful.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's processed.
It's processed cheese.
Yep.
Processed. And remember when everybody was getting the government cheese? That government cheese. That was the worst thing they could ever give to anybody. Government cheese. That big block of cheese. People should know that ain't real. Come on now. Yeah. That
but
ain't
of course,
real.
Of course they didn't tell us that though.
No,
you know, it was free. And of course it was for the lower income people, right?
Government cheese.
Yeah. So it was like, you know what? You ate it because that's what was affordable.
And that's what they gave you. And that's where we went wrong as a community. They gave us that government cheese, and all we relied on was the fact that they had given us something. Every week, people were waiting to get that government cheese. It didn't matter how much damage it was doing to you, as long as you got that government cheese. I'm going to get my government cheese. So there were, in fact, in that bundle, it was the cheese. I believe something like eggs came in it, something, white bread that's thin and they use for sandwiches at schools. That is nothing but dough. So all of those things that do the most damage is what they gave folks for free.
Yep, they gave it for free. Man, yes.
and that's crazy. And that's how they damage communities and families. Because they give them all of that stuff, and folks who don't know think they're really getting something. They like us.
Right.
They're taking care of us. That was plantation mentality.
Mm-hmm. They were sending up all the poor.
Yes.
They were sending up all the poor and unfortunate people by saying, hey, I'm going to give you this nourishment for free. I'm going to give you this food because we know that you don't make enough money to buy real food.
Yes.
We know you don't make enough money to learn about gardening. We're not going to teach you to garden.
They didn't eat it. You couldn't give government cheese to one of those folks. You could you couldn't give them government cheese and nothing else that the government has done. You couldn't give them that. No. Come on.
That was a no-no, right?
Yeah.
But they made sure they gave it to the people that couldn't afford to eat better
because when
you think about food causes endorphins and chemical imbalances in your body and in your mind. Food always has been this for ages. It changes the molecular thought of your system when you eat it. So that's why some foods make you happy, some make you sad, some make you tired, some give you energy. You know, I would say like caffeine being one of the greatest examples. Why people love coffee is because caffeine incites a happy endorphin. I can't remember the name of it. But it's an endorphin that causes you to become happy, right? And it's not necessarily that the caffeine shoots up your energy. For some people, it does. And some people, you know, can increase your blood pressure and a lot of other things. But it brings a sense of in your mind that you have more energy naturally. And it makes you happier. That's why it's the number two most consumed beverage in the world next to tea. Which I always have found that to be extremely interesting, because tea in various forms, whether you get the regular old Lipton tea that's in the bag to your green teas and your different hibiscus teas that are out there, they all have healing properties in it. And they say people that, you know, that drink tea live happier lives. I don't know. I hadn't seen the statistics on it. That's just what I heard, right? You know, and it's just interesting how how our governments has manipulated us to not want to consume that stuff fresh. They have pumped fast food and processed food to everybody. The right. only people that take time to educate themselves, even the wealthy. You know, I think about Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett's one of my favorite examples. He's like 2 cheeseburgers from McDonald's every day.
What?
Now, oh man, you got to read the story about it. He walks onto the stock floor with M&Ms and cheeseburgers. And I was like, I don't know where he got this fountain of youth for him, because he's like in his 90s. And they say he still does it. It still walks on the floor. I was like, okay, you're just one. You're that 1% that they talk about that just can handle whatever's going on, you wow. know? And, but everybody's not like that. About the other 99%, yeah, we don't fall in that category. You have to be mindful and pay attention to that processed stuff, you know, because it is damaging to the body and it changes your chemical, you know, makeup. It's like when I think about Infamil, right? Baby milk. They always say that the, you know, the best milk is the breast milk, you know, coming from the mom. It's got all the nutrients and everything that you need in it. Well, you know, I never really researched what was in Infamil. It was supposed to be a good balance, but it's also been led to, you know, cause children to have some mental issues, you know, going Infamil? Through like ADHD from a couple of stories that I read. Now, those weren't like doctor stories. These were like people telling their stories of using that and then switching back to, you know, breast milk, you know, because of some of those stories. Yeah, you something as simple as Infamil, because guess what? That. It's still processed.
I've never heard that about Infamil, but my kids didn't grow up on those things. When they were babies, I didn't give them Infamil and all that. I eventually had to put them on a formula, and I've started, I think I kept Infamil, but I also used goat's milk. They drank goat's milk.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't give them cow's milk. I did not give them the Infamil and Similac and all of those. But they did, Andriana, I believe it was, eventually went on Infamil for a short period of time. But I didn't give my kids all of that processed stuff. In fact, I never gave them baby food. The only time they ever had baby food is when they were away from me at a relative's and the relative gave them baby food. But my kids never ate baby food. I didn't give them baby food. That Gerber jar stuff, beach nut. I never gave them a lot of that. They didn't get it. So,
well, I was a kid that was underprivileged, so I didn't get none of that either. Once I got table food, this is what I ate, whatever my mama ate.
Right. Well, I did a lot of cooking vegetables that my kids had, and they didn't get meat until they were way up before they got meat. And then I've been off of meat for, God, 30-something years. There was no need for them to have meat.
But in terms of Warren Buffett, sometimes it's just luck of the draw.
Exactly. You know, he's that 1%.
Somebody can just eat the worst thing. Our father, who spent most of his life on the road, he drove a Greyhound bus. He has eaten terrible his entire life. He's 92 mm-hmm. years old right now. Now he's on dialysis, but nonetheless, he's still 92. So, and there are people, I had a good friend who died of lung cancer, never smoked a day in his life. You know, so
wow.
It's, you just never know. And that's not to say you shouldn't take care of yourself, but unfortunately you can do all the right things and things go wrong and you can just be the worst person in the world and live forever, damn near forever. You know?
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It does. And man, I know there was a lady that grew up in my neighborhood, older Caucasian lady, and she smoked cigarettes at least like 2 packs a day. She lived to be like 91.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh.
No cancer, yep. no major illnesses. She lived next door to my father. And, you know, they passed away when I was in my teens. But it was just funny. She'd sit on the porch and smoke her cigarette and flick it and sit out there with her lemonade. And I remember that woman passing at 91. I was like, all right, all this stuff they say about cigarettes, how this woman make it to 91 with no lung cancer? Wow. And she had no health issues. You know, she just passed away in her sleep.
Natural causes. And,
yeah, just natural causes. The body just, the body was, it was just time.
She was done.
You know, and I was like, yeah. I said, you know what? She's just in that 1%. that's just what that is. It's that 1% of the people that, you know, go from having faith and hope to having just straight luck.
Yeah. Hey, what are you going to do?
Man. And she didn't stop. She was still smoking cigarettes in her 80s.
What?
That woman was a chain smoker. Like, if there was support groups for chain smokers that's not trying to quit, she would have been the catalyst for it.
Wow.
I mean, she'd have been the main champion. Oh, smoke, you'll be fine. Look, I've been smoking since I was 16. I'm 91. And I can still, you know, sit on my porch with lemonade, man. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Well, remember, a couple of generations ago, you were supposed to smoke. I remember coming
right
out, and everybody had an ashtray on their living room coffee table and one of those lighters that never worked. But you were supposed to smoke. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Everybody smoked. And you'd see movies, a guy would be hitting on a woman and he'd offer her a cigarette. And I even had an old ad about Camels that said, more doctors smoke Camel cigarettes than any other brand.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you used to smoke on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
even think of that as a kid. I was like, wait a minute, that's like fire inside a combustible thing.
Wait a minute, and then they came up with a no smoking section on the plane. It was like,
that's gonna help.
It's gonna help.
Like,
yeah,
like, I mean, that's like when I tell people about first class and flying regular, I say, yeah, the divider is a curtain. I mean, is it really that different? What, you get free drinks and maybe a meal. And a little bit more leg room,
things like that. Yeah,
you know, and I don't knock anybody that flies first class. You know, I just every time I get on the plane, it's like we're going to the same place. You paid $1,500 for your ticket, I paid $200 to sit in the back, and we're going to get off the plane around the same time.
Yep,
we're going to land at the same time, but you know, you pay more for that. I don't know, get off the plane first so you could smoke in front. You know, get food, whatever.
It's conditioned.
It's conditioning. And like I said, I don't knock anybody that does first class. Man, have at it. You know, but if I'm going to do first class, it's going to be an international flight that's going to have the sleep bed in it. Yeah. You know, they're going to be bringing me not just a shot of bourbon. They're going to be bringing me some Mai Tais. And, you know, I mean, I'm going to get some mixed drinks in there.
Yeah, because it's all free up there. Yeah. So,
right.
Of course, a lot of airlines are not selling alcohol at all anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are. It's only a perk now if they do something wrong.
Yeah. People are acting damn fools up there at 35,000 feet in the air and they want to get into fights.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Is there anything else you could do? Really?
See, think about it. Think about the power of what we consume. You just said a powerful statement. People up there acting a fool over an elixir that was used for healing.
Yeah,
it was used for a healing property. But like I tell people, anything in overabundance is a problem. You know, the doctor never said eat 3 apples a day. He said an apple a day, right? Me as a diabetic, apples have a lot of sugar. So if I eat 3 or 4 of those in a day, it's going to spike me up, even though it's healthy.
Yeah,
I could have grown it myself with no pesticides, with nothing. If I eat 3 of those apples a day, it's going to spike up my blood sugar and I'm going to have an unhappy day.
Right, right.
It's just what it is.
And lots of people don't understand that even though a person might be vegan, if they go to Whole Foods or Sprouts or Trader Joe's or any health food store and all they buy and consume is boxed meals and Amigos, if they buy boxed meals and consume that, their health is no better than anybody else that goes to the McDonald's because they've consumed an overabundance of processed chemical foods. And those foods in those boxes, one, they're processed. Two, they're filled with binders and fillers and all kinds of things that they add to make up for what they delete. So boxed meals, it's no better than Kraft macaroni and cheese. Okay.
It was interesting about it. There's people that go to Sprouts and Whole Foods and Central Market pay double.
Yeah, they pay double and they don't know what they're doing. I've got two people in my immediate circle who swear they are the healthiest people on the planet. And all they consume is boxed foods. And if you try to tell them that they're living a lie, they're going to hunt you down. But that's,
well, see, what you do with those people is you tell them, say, go get a full workup from your doctor. Go get an allergen test. Go get a full blood work. It's going to test for a truckload of things. I know, because that's how they found out with diabetes. I had one of those full workups when my vitamin D had got low some years back. And that's when I found out that I was diabetic, right? Tell them to go get a full workup and then come back and have that conversation with you after talking with their doctor.
And they claim that they do. In fact, one of them, he's on high blood pressure medication, but he's a vegan.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? High blood pressure medication. He's a vegan. And vegans are deficient in, I'm not sure the area, but they're deficient because they consume a high amount of desserts.
And no protein.
And no protein. So right. They are, but they consider themselves vegan and consider themselves health, strong and healthy. No, they're delusional. They're delusional.
Wow. And he eats boxed food?
Boxed. It's Ann's and I think it's Ann's and Amigos.
So, wow.
And those are boxed.
What is that?
Ann's.
What is that?
Ann's can be macaroni and cheese.
Oh.
It can be. Ann's is the maker, the brand.
And see, it's not so bad if people would understand that it needs to be done in moderation.
But not only moderation, but quit pretending like you're something that you're not. Number one, because you're not vegan. Number two, understand that anything that's in a box, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that that's processed. And if all you do is processed and nothing else, whether it's a salad or a vegetable, any kind of vegetable, you're fooling yourself. You're completely and totally delusional. So... it doesn't.
Shout out to Ann's. You're getting some free publication right here.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Say good press, you know, good or bad press is still press, just so you know. Shout out to Ann's. Go ahead, continue. Yeah.
But it's still processed food. I used to eat Beyond Meat. I quit eating it and I went, oh my God, this is also processed. This is processed. Mm-hmm. So why would I go from where I was with chicken, turkey, and fish to processed meat? Just because it's plant-based does not mean that, one, that it's not processed. In order for it to be plant-based, it has to be processed. So why would I go to that processed food when it's a process and it's still got additives? Why would I do that?
I mean, think about just in the name of it, you know, it's plant-based, right?
Derived
from plants.
Yeah. I don't mind that it's derived from plants, but don't send it through the process. So if I'm going to get a veggie burger, I want the whole veggies.
Right. You know, you want a veggie burger. Yeah. Give me a beetroot burger. You know, shout out to Heavenly Catering. We got the best beetroot burger in the country.
Oh,
you know, but, you know, make a beetroot burger, right? You don't have to process it.
Yes.
You put out the regular same stuff in it and seasoning and things like that. You know, put some stuff in, put some natural things in it to pull out some of the earthiness. But man, you cook it just like a burger and it comes out well.
Beetroot?
Yes. We use, we take beets and we cut the beets up and put it through the
processor.
Through the food processor. And we add in, you know, our garlic and different flavors and seasonings and things like that. And we form it into a patty and we use a binder in it. I think last time we used flaxseed, but sometimes we use oatmeal and a couple other things for, you know, a very natural binder in it. And then we season it like it's a burger. And then, you know, we char grill it, we pan fry it, we put it on the grill. You know, most of the time I put it in the pan fry because it's probably the best that it comes out. And, you know, you cook it each side about 5-6 minutes and it's solid and it's all plants. What? It's not plant-based or plant processed or it's all the meat made into
a burger
sandwich.
A burger. Does it taste like a burger?
It does. It does. Because it comes down to seasoning. Think about this when I tell people, because it's all about taste with people and food, right? So most burgers that you buy from the store is just ground beef. You just cook the ground beef and it tastes like ground beef. Like, it doesn't taste like any kind of flavor, right? It just tastes like what beef would taste like if you ate it, right? What makes it different is when you add that bit of salt and pepper, which blooms the flavor that's naturally in it. Or you put, you know, cayenne or paprika or, you know, all the other onions, onion salt, garlic salt, fresh garlic. Those is what brings out the flavors of food. Think about when you, you know, Glenn, I know you're vegetarian now, but think about when you fry chicken, right? If you fry chicken and don't do nothing to your flour and don't do nothing to your chicken and you deep fry it, it's bland. All you're tasting is skin and chicken because it doesn't have the flavor without the seasoning. And people can put the right seasonings into their vegetable dishes to accomplish the same flavor profile that they're looking for in meat. Mm-hmm. Now, for everybody that's listening, I am not vegan or vegetarian. You know, I do still consume a meat protein, but I don't consume it as much as I used to, but I still do. So I'm not saying that, you know, don't eat meat. Once again, moderation.
But you know, what is moderation? When a person doesn't know anything about their bodies and they're working on delusion, when people say moderation, what does moderation mean? Because you can tell an alcoholic moderation, and he, instead of him having a drink an hour, he might drop it down to six.
And that's progress. That's progress.
Oh,
that's progress. And that would be for where he is. That is moderation.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, if he has a drink an hour, right? It's already destroying his system because he's having 24, we'll just say shots. He's taking 24 shots a day, 24 ounces of alcohol that was used for medicinal purposes back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. So the first couple of shots probably healed some stuff in his body. The third shot made him feel good. The fourth through the 24th started damaging his kidneys, his liver, you know, it started destroying everything else. And him dropping down to six, it helps balance out so he can see where it is. Because a lot of times people just don't know their body. They don't take the time to learn their body or listen to their body, right? The body tells you what it likes and it doesn't like. It tells you what it's allergic to, what it's not allergic to. And what happens is us as people is that we don't pay attention to it because it'll be something subtle. Like you eat something and maybe 5-10 minutes later you sneeze. Right. You just think maybe it's an allergen in the air. It could be dust, any number of things. It could be the fact that you're allergic to, you know, fennel. I met a lady the other day that's allergic to green peas. Right. She has an adverse reaction to green peas. Right. Something as simple as green peas, for the most part, people consider it to be healthy. It's full of, you know, a lot of different nutrients, from magnesium to vitamin E to, you know, the chlorophyll that helps, you know, make your skin glow. But for her, it's adverse. Right. And people don't take that time. So when you're looking at moderation, it's moderation that is not going to cause, you know, a huge determination on the decline of your health, right?
Well, everything in moderation. Well, I gave up fruit. I gave up fruit cold turkey.
Oh, bless your life.
I did, because I had an elevated A1C.
So that makes sense.
It was 6.5. And I got it down to 5.2, 5.8. So I'm hovering around 5.8. By now, it's probably 8 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave up everything. I gave up everything. I gave up fruit. I gave up desserts. I have now found ice cream that's oat milk, almond milk, and coconut
mm-hmm,
milk.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have a dessert, that's all I have. And I have that in real limited quantities.
Right. See, now you can start reincorporating those foods to find out how adversely it changes you. Like you gave up fruit cold turkey. It's already out of your body, out of your system, right? Take your favorite fruit that you like and maybe, you know, a typical serving size of Granny Smith is like one apple, right? It's like, I think it's like 3 ounces for grapes, things of that nature, right? You probably could do an apple on Monday, an apple on Thursday. You probably could do grapes on Tuesday and grapes on Thursday because see the body, it's out of the body now. It's going to process. So now that you introduce it to the body, you're going to eat it. And then when you take your glucose level, you're going to see that it's going to be a little elevated because food makes you go up 20% no matter what you eat, really. It doesn't really matter. It's going to go up 20 points when you dine. But you'll see that there'll be a balance there because you cut it off to reset the body. So you've done what a lot of people won't do. They know what's wrong. They won't change so the body can naturally reset. So you can reincorporate the great things that's for the body or the great things that you enjoy to eat.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
It's a reset. Because
yeah,
it's
is
like,
a reset. Yes.
See, for you with a high A1C, you can't have an apple a day like the doctor says.
I gave up all of that. I did have an apple a day, a banana a day. I was very conscious of what I ate. And if I went to school and we had oatmeal in the morning, I'd have oatmeal. I'd have a banana. I'd have, since I don't drink coffee, I drink a derivative of coffee. You can only get it at health food stores. So I would have a banana. I would have an apple. We would always.
Now, would you eat the whole banana?
Who eats half a banana?
Half a banana is a serving size.
Oh, I always ate the whole thing.
And everybody does it.
Yeah.
You don't eat half a banana.
Said,
you eat the whole.
Eat the whole banana. Yeah.
But think about this. If you think about this, especially for someone that's diabetic that has, you know, a glucose issue, bananas, great in potassium. It's high in sugar like every other fruit. Right. So if a serving size is half, every time you ate the banana, you were eating double.
Right.
You do that every day. Instead of eating 3 or 4 bananas a week, you're actually consuming 6 to 8 bananas a week,
right,
which spikes up your sugar. Because people think like that, who's going to eat half a banana? Well, you know, most people don't. If you do it in moderation, you can have a banana on Monday. You can have a banana on Wednesday. You can have one on Friday. But if you do one every day, see, you're doubling up the process.
Yeah.
You can have a burger once or twice a week. You can't do, you know, beef Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then do it again on Saturday. Chicken, the same thing. Fish is a little different, you know, but you still don't want to do fish 4, 5, 6 times a week because, you know, the fatty oils in it can cause high blood pressure, you know. Even though the omega-3s is in fish, it's supposed to help lower those things.
We just screwed
no
matter
much
what.
Of it.
You just, no matter what, something's going to kill you. It's the
exactly. Yeah, yeah. And what you want to do is be mindful of things like that. Serving size. Like people don't know that bagels, like a whole bagel, half a bagel is serving size. People don't understand that a sandwich, 2 pieces of bread, that's 2 servings. Most people, it's 1 sandwich.
And
right?
I don't eat sandwiches anymore. I gave up sandwiches since Subway came out with the plastic in the brain.
Gotcha. So when you look at that, you know, it's 2 servings. We automatically overconsume naturally. And they've been putting this on boxes. They've been putting it on all the packaging. This isn't like it's something new with the nutritional values. Nobody takes time to read.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
You get a bag of cookies, right? And say it's Oreo. You get a bag of Oreo cookies. You know, I think it's like 3 cookies is 1 serving. And it's only like 130 calories, 140 calories or something like that. It's something that you wouldn't think about when you think of Oreos, right? But most people eat more than 3 Oreos. Most people eat a whole row, right? Because it's small, you know, it's tasty, but you just consume 400 calories, right?
Ooh.
You consume those 400 calories with sugar and refined sugar and processed inside the body. And most people, hour later, they're going to have, you know, dinner, go have lunch, you know, things of that nature. And they don't think that they're doubling up on servings when they eat. Very simple stuff. I'm a huge fan of potato chips. Always have been.
Love them.
I like them plain. They don't have to be barbecued. They don't have to be sour cream. None of that. Now, I eat all those, but they don't have to. I'm a plain Ruffles Ridges guy, right? 12 chips is 180 calories.
Well, and see, I can eat a whole...
Because you don't get 12 chips in a bag.
I can eat a whole big family bag of Lay's regular potato chips. I can sit there and eat a whole bag by myself. Oh, just no problem. God. I have that's to a, cut myself that's a full, off.
You yep. eat that whole bag.
You in
it's
trouble.
About 1,100 calories.
You in trouble.
That is a meal. I'm just telling you now.
And I'm more concerned
about
this.
Think about it. When you sit down and you're watching TV or football or sport, whatever you're doing, and you eat that whole bag, because I've done it, right?
Yeah.
You eat that entire bag. And then if you go and read what's in it, because it's potato, it's a starch, it's deep fried, okay?
And all the sodium, all the salt.
Keep all that in mind.
Oil, you know, and salt, and
it's a carbohydrate. It's going to give you a lot of power energy. That's why you're going to get a little sleepy after you eat it, because that's what potatoes do when you eat too much of it.
But they taste so good.
Yeah, because, the calories and the carbohydrates that are in starches is fuel.
Yeah.
So imagine if you eat a whole bag of potatoes, you probably ate 3 potatoes, probably 4 in a whole bag in one sitting. And potatoes, one potato is good. 5, not so good at one time.
Yeah, 5.
That are also deep fried, heavily salted. You eat the whole thing, that's 1,000 calories. You just had a meal, and most people don't think of it that way. You eat that whole bag of potato chips, and it's like, okay, well now, you know, I want a sandwich or a burger. I'm ready for some chicken. I'm ready for some fish. I'm ready to, you know, have dinner, or I'm going to eat dinner later. No, you just had dinner. You had about 1,100 calories of carbohydrates, and you know, it's you had a meal. Mm-hmm. You don't have to eat again, but because of the way the body processes it and the way that we think, it's a mindset thing, right? In our mind, it's a snack.
Yeah.
Even though I ate the whole bag.
Well, they keep telling us it's a snack. As long as they tell us it's a snack, it is a snack.
Yeah, but when you snack for like 2 hours eating this thing.
Exactly. You eat the whole bag, it's a meal.
Yep.
It's a meal. And I encourage anybody that's listening, read the back of your food for serving sizes. No matter where you are in life, on your diet, whether you're losing weight, whether you're trying to pick up weight, whether you are in fluctuating between your weight, look at the back of the food that you eat and look up serving size. If you do natural food, like, you know, you buying your asparagus and your tomatoes, and, you know, for my vegetarians that and vegans that, you know, do all fresh produce, you know, go online and they'll tell you how many calories, how many servings you should have. You know, 5 asparagus is equal to, you know, 1 ounce, and a serving is like 4 ounces. So you can have 4 ounces of asparagus, things like that. Find these things out, because just as much as knowing what you put in your body, the amount you consume is just as critical.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's true.
A lot of people don't know tomatoes have high sugar in it because it's a fruit.
And I was going to ask you, someone read to me that tomatoes also contribute to inflammation.
They do. And they can cause acid reflux. Mm-hmm. Right?
Because of the acidity.
And it's the acidity. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's a fruit. Of course, we use it as a vegetable.
Yeah.
But by definition and design, it's a fruit. So even in that, eating too much of it, you know, putting the extra scoop of marinara sauce on your pasta. I had to stop the other day. My sister had cooked some spaghetti and meatballs. And I had to stop myself because my first thought was, man, I'm about to load this up with sauce because I'm not about to have these dry noodles. You know, this how we going to do it. And then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? This is about to be a high sugar content. And the serving size is 4 ounces for every 8 ounces of pasta. So if I put 2 scoops, I'm going to have as much serving size of pasta, which is already, a starch and high in carbs, especially for a diabetic. It's going to break down into sugar and cause my glucose to go up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put 2 servings of tomato sauce on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just dawned on me. And I said, you know what? I didn't even put the second one on there. You know, I'm going to make it a point to just toss this and, you know, make and it do what it do. Food. And it wasn't.
That's right.
Yep. And make it good. And you know what? It wasn't dry. But in my mind, because I don't eat spaghetti too often, right? But in my mind, it was like, I got to have a lot of sauce. That's the way the Italians do it. That's the chef in me.
Yep.
The Italians, it's sopped in sauce. Like there's noodles on the plate, but the sauce is the two champions.
Somewhere under
that
sauce is the noodles.
Yes. In any of the dishes, whether it's a cream sauce, whether it's a wine sauce, whether it's a meat sauce, that's the way they cook. But we overeat and we don't look at the serving sizes of what we eat. A lot of the medical issues we truly deal with is traced back to one, not knowing what your body is allergic to in the foods that you eat. Stuff that you may like may not be good for you. You know, things that are healthy may not be healthy for you, but you have to take the time and learn to find that out. And the second thing is serving sizes. Nobody pays attention to that when they're eating. There's some people out there, I'm not going to say nobody, that's too blanket of a statement, because I pay attention to my serving sizes. Simple things like slices of pizza. One slice of pizza is about 300 calories on average, and that's a cheese pizza, anywhere from like 270 to about 310, and it depends on the kind of cheese and the sauce and everything else, but that's typically what it is. 270 isn't that much because, you know, when you have a typical meal, like my meals is usually about 700 calories total. When I have my meal to get, you know, 2,000 to 2,200 calories a day, just to have normal function, right? So you sit down, you eat three slices of pizza. That's your full meal. You shouldn't eat anything after that, right? Well, most people look at pizza as being a snack and not necessarily a meal. So they'll eat half a pizza or they'll keep eating the slices.
I wanted to mention something to you before you get out of here, Andre. Sure. I had four wisdom teeth pulled about 2 months ago now.
Uh-huh.
My niece was in town and she said, and I had prepared, you had mentioned a dentist earlier and I wanted to run this by you. I was preparing myself for at least two weeks of agony getting four wisdom teeth pulled.
Uh-huh.
My niece said, drink a bunch of pineapple juice the day before. And I did.
I wonder what that did.
I drank an entire jug, whatever that size is, liter, whatever. I love pineapple juice anyway, so I just drank. It took me, you know, I didn't just drink it all down at once, but during the day I drank it. I ended up drinking the whole thing. I was in zero pain. I kid you not. Zero, zero, zero pain. During the procedure.
One of the main things in pineapple juice, it's an antioxidant. So it removes impurities from the body.
Pineapple juice?
Pineapple juice.
And I don't know if it was the pineapple juice or was this doctor a miracle worker, man, but I kid you not one iota of pain. It's just phenomenal. So if you go to the dentist, try the pineapple juice and see, because again, I don't know which one it was, but it certainly worked like a miracle.
Yeah, because see, some of the nutrients that's in it, you know, when you look at pineapples itself, you know, I mean, it's got vitamin B6, vitamin C, what else is in it? Potassium, you know, a lot of the natural things that are in our body, and it boosts the immune system. So it helps. And, you know, like citrus, it's citrus. So, you know, back in the day, they make you drink orange juice or something high in citrus when you had a cold or when you were sneezing, things of that nature, because it builds up the immune system and it causes things to leave the body. It also helps, and this is probably what the best part of it for you, getting your wisdom teeth pulled, it helps to suppress inflammation. Now, I know some people that do pineapple juice, you know, it does them different, but for the most part, it helps reduce inflammation. I know when me and Mary are traveling, if we're driving long distances, you know, and her feet would start swelling or mine would start swelling, we would drink pineapple juice because it would lower the inflammation.
Oh, wow.
So you having those wisdom teeth taken out, right? Your gums are going to be swollen because they had to go in. I mean, it's a grueling process. I've had two taken out myself many, many years ago. But your face is going to be swollen. You got anesthesia is going to wear off, everything else. And the pineapple juice reduces the inflammation naturally. It's a natural immune booster too, right? So it, what's the best way to describe
that's
it?
That's why
whatever was in your body that was working great, it gave it a boost. And then everything that was swollen in your body, it minimized it.
Makes sense. It definitely worked. So to all the listeners out there, if you're going to have some dental work done, try drinking a bunch of pineapple juice the day before. Again, it worked. It worked like a miracle. And that may be why people on a lot of the islands are very healthy and live a long time, because pineapples.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, remember, since you're going to reincorporate fruit, Colette, make sure you look at serving sizes.
I do. Now, I do read labels. Perfect. Mother read labels.
Yeah, because pineapple, because it's like 25 grams of sugar in a pineapple. So that's why I said, just look at the serving size. You probably can do 8 ounces today.
I would not eat canned pineapple. I would eat fresh pineapple.
Yep, 25 grams.
That's 25 grams.
It is. That's just what the pineapple is. That's why you got to look at the serving size.
Yeah.
Because you eat... If you drink 8 ounces of fresh pineapple juice, you know, you probably, if it's unprocessed, it's probably going to be a serving. It's probably going to be half of whatever that 25 grams is. Right. So it would be a cup. It's probably like 13. Does that make sense? 13
mm-hmm.
grams.
Mm-hmm.
And so a serving size is probably a cup.
Okay.
So, and since you're a reader for that, you just look at that, because that's the biggest thing, that having that balance of not overdoing it and know what's good.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is to know what's good for your body,
right?
Because I have friends that, you know, eat sugar all the time. But my friend, Devin, shout out to Devin down in Houston, Texas. Devin has one of the fastest metabolisms I've met of anybody.
Wow.
And he has been a beacon of health for as long as I've known him. But, you know, and he doesn't work out a whole lot. He works out just enough, right? But his metabolism is so fast that he burns everything off.
Okay.
I mean, and so his body is, makeup is different. Stuff doesn't sit. He can go walk for 30 minutes right after eating the meal, and he's going to burn 200 calories. And then his metabolism is going to kick in and burn another 300 once he's done. So for him, 2 hours later, he's hungry again.
I used to be like that. I was like that up until maybe 15 years ago. Just burn it off.
Yes.
Yep.
And so it changes. You have to know your body to know how to eat. And so I always tell people, start there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get all the tests that you need to know your allergens. Get all the tests that you need to know what foods are good for your body, what's bad for your body. And then frame your healthy food or your healthy lifestyle around the things that are most beneficial for your body.
Right.
Yeah. That's the good news you can use for today.
Sure is. It is good news. And thank you so much, Chef Andre Blassingame. As usual, it's been a great conversation. As usual, you do bring the spark and the fire. So I'm so glad to hear that. And yes, I am going to take your advice, and I am going to reintroduce fruit back into my meals. But I'm not going back to juice. I will not do juice.
Concentrate. Ooh,
I'll just do fresh fruit. So thank you so much. As usual, it has been a pleasure. You've been listening to Chef Andre Blassingame, Menu Mondays. He's got the recipe, so you always have to come back to listen to the chef. So this is the Intentional Talk Radio Network. And remember, you can get all of our shows on all of your podcasts. So be sure to come back this evening for Mindful Mondays with Dr. Phyllis Bennett. And tomorrow, we've got Carol Hobson on Change Matters with Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams. So thank you very much for joining us. Be safe going home. Stay out of the weather. Have a good evening, and we will speak with you when we get back to you right here at the Intentional Talk Radio Network. Good night.
And I'm out!
Out!